That was a blessing. That was beautiful. That was exciting. This baptism picnic should be. That day is great. And I don't know if you haven't noticed. I appreciate what God is doing in both of your lives. I mean, if you remember when Ted and Janet first came here, I mean, man, they were coming out of atheism. They were coming out of whatever. I mean, Lord knows, right? And man, the work the Lord is doing in those two lives is both of them is just amazing. We are proud of your love for Christ. So thank you for that. Put him on the spot. I had to butter him up a little bit. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 15 today. This is baptism day, picnic day. We had a great, last week we had a great counseling session with King Saul. He joined our small group counseling session, and we were able to make some progress, I thought. I mean, we came away with a few items, King Saul, there's a lot of hope for him, I think, as he left. But if you're familiar at all with the counseling, with troubled lives situation, you can oftentimes, you can meet with them, have a great counseling session, and believe things are going to start to turn around, and lo and behold, the next week is disaster again. Trouble doesn't end sometimes like that. And so that is what happened with King Saul, and he is back. His kingdom is now literally being torn from him. Things have gotten even worse, and he is back needing some counseling, needing some guidance, needing to look at his life and see if by any chance we can help him with that. Now the problems are running so deep, it gets a little murky, as it does in lives. And so there's a couple of things in 1 Samuel 15, and we're only going to be able to really tackle one today, but it's a very important subject. And so we are looking at King Saul again, and I've entitled this just Stop Talking, Saul. Have you ever been talking to someone, trying to give them hope, trying to encourage them in the Lord, and they just always always have an answer, they're always coming back, and you go, would you just stop talking for a minute and listen? I mean, just stop talking. And that's exactly what Samuel told Saul. Stop. Just stop. Just shut up, in my terms. Just stop and listen. Would you listen? And that's exactly what's happening here. If you've ever counseled someone, you've ever had that situation, and you just say, would you shut up? It's biblical. Okay, I'm just going to give you that. It's biblical. So just hang in there. You're doing all right. You're doing just fine. If you know 1 Samuel 15, this is a hot button chapter that we won't be able to dive into the actual command itself. But we had a great Wednesday night last Wednesday. If you're not involved in a Wednesday night thing, we were able to dive into verse 3. And it's a troublesome verse for some people. And we were able to dive into it and really come away feeling, you know, much better about it. The troublesome verse reads this way, 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. This is God's command. This is Saul's next mission. This is the command. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. That was his mission, to go to the Amalekites. Amalek was the king there. Go to them, and they're east of Egypt, down in this area. I want you to go in there, and I want you to destroy them all. I want no remnants of them. And so that was a mission. It was a big mission. It was a tough mission. People struggle with this passage. And so Saul went to the Amalekites, and he did kill everyone except King Agag. And he did kill all the animals that were not the prizes of the flock. He kept the best of the flock, and he brought them back. And God had something to say about that, and he used Samuel to do it. So let me pray, and I'll begin reading about verse 10, and we will have a little short counseling session with King Samuel, King Saul. Lord, thank you for your word. It is rich and important. It is true. It is all true. It is all valuable to us. Lord, we're not going to question it. We're not going to throw it out. We're not going to delete parts of it. Lord, it is entirely true and good. It is love. It is grace. Lord, I pray now as we look at this passage, you will etch it into our hearts. Teach us. Make us more like Christ. Lord, may we just help King Saul. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. And this is where Samuel delivers God's message to King Saul for not having completely, 100%, carried out the mission. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be you to the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen that I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have devoted to destruction. And Samuel said to Saul, Stop. I'll tell you what the Lord said to me this night. And he said to him, Speak. Samuel said, Though you're little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Saul, do we need to read the command of the Lord again? Let's sit down and read real carefully what the Lord commanded you to do. Let's just start there, Saul. Let's start over and read the command of the Lord. Go to the Amalekites and consume them all. Consume all the animals and all the people. Now, Saul, did you do that? Because you keep saying, I have done the command of the Lord. I have obeyed the command of the Lord. I carried out the mission of the Lord. You keep saying that, Saul. Just stop talking for a minute and listen to what I'm saying. Did you do what the Lord asked you to do? He's always got an answer. People like that trigger me. And I'm so glad that Samuel was able to say with an exclamation point, just stop. We need to listen to what the Lord is really telling us in the Word of God. Saul, you're not alone. Saul, you are not alone. Sometimes we are all guilty of not doing completely what the Lord has asked us to do. So Saul, we're going to work through this with you. We want to help you. But I think, first of all, we need to define some terms. I mean, Saul, what does obedience really mean to you? When we say, obey the Lord. When God says, obey what I'm telling you to do, what does obey really mean? Because you keep saying you've obeyed, and God, who is the ultimate authority, says, you've not obeyed. You've done evil, and I'm going to tear the kingdom from you. So apparently there's still this big disconnect, Saul. There's some big disconnect between you and God, because God is not at all happy. I mean, when it comes to a point he is tearing your kingdom from you, this is not good, and yet you keep saying, I've obeyed. I have walked with the Lord. So what does obey mean to you? What does obedience look like? So we need to kind of flesh this out. How important is this? So how important is it that you keep the command of the Lord completely, 100%. No details left out. No details changed or tweaked a little bit. No excuses. So how important do you think it really is that we obey the Lord 100%? I know, you brought those animals back to sacrifice to the Lord. But he said no. He said no. He wants them all killed. So this is a very important subject for us today, isn't it? What does obedience to the Lord look like? What does disobedience look like? There's definitely a disconnect and a misunderstanding by Saul of what it means to obey the Lord. And before we look at that answer and that definition, let's move forward in the scriptures just for a minute. I have two scriptures I want us to look at, because this teaching to King Saul, this issue with King Saul, is still the issue, an issue today in the New Testament by Jesus himself. This was an issue later on in the life of Israel, and then Jesus as well emphasized the importance of looking carefully at the Word of God, obeying it completely, committing our hearts and ourselves to obeying it entirely. It's of vital importance to us that we understand with Saul what obedience is and how it's important even today. Some people in the churches have begun to camp on this idea that, well, all we really need to do is love. love God and love people. That's really all we need to do, is just love them. And then we don't have to worry so much about this obedience part. Just love people. So let's see what Jesus in the New Testament says about that. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 21, this is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior himself, speaking to us. Does everyone in here have access to a Bible? Is there anyone here that you don't have access to a Bible, either by phone, iPad, hard copy? Do you all have access to about somewhere in your life you have access to a Bible? Is there anyone here who doesn't? I want to get you a Bible. Okay, y'all, we're all good. We all have His Word. That's really helpful. In John chapter 14, verse 21, whoever has my commandments, and we all do, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. That is, I will make myself known to him. I'll show myself to him. We will see the living God. Those of us who have the commands and keep them, obey them, look at them intently, and we want to keep them entirely, completely, the Father will love that person, and we will make ourselves known to that person. That's huge. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, not the betrayer, said to him, Lord, how is it? How will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, Jesus said, but the Father's who sent me. This is from God. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So we have help. If your memory's as bad as mine, you need help. And so the Holy Spirit has come to help. He's come to help teach us. So we look at all those little words on all those pages and we go, oh my gosh, that's a big mountain to climb. I don't know that I can learn that. That's hard. That's tricky. That's woo-wee. Guess what? The Holy Spirit has come into us to teach us and to help us remember the word, the commandments, the mission of God. We have help. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. You have the word of God. And so many people today are camping on this idea that all we need to do is love, and I love God. Don't judge me. It really doesn't matter. I love God. Well, we need to define some terms. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love Jesus? According to Jesus, it means you want to keep His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Those who love me, keep my commandments. That's what it looks like to Him. Defining love in Jesus' terms. Not the world's terms, We don't love like the world. We love like Jesus. And that's what's important. We don't get the peace from the world. When we love like the world, we're looking for peace that the world might want to give us. We don't want that peace. If you love me, and you pick this thing up, and you're attentive, and you look at it, because you love me, I'm going to come and make myself known to you. My Father, God, will come and make myself known. You won't have to ask, where's God? Do I have God? What's going on? You'll never have to ask that. He's going to come and make his home in you. And this is God himself telling us this through Jesus, he says. And I will love you and give you my spirit to teach you, because I know it can be a little tricky sometimes. And I'm going to give you a peace that you have that no one can take away. It's not theirs. It's not from them, about them, like them. This is a whole different peace. You fear not. No fear. You're just in my word, just because you love me. Oh, it's important. It's important, isn't it? It's foundational today that we understand what keeping the word is. Obeying the word of God, being attentive, digging in, wanting to keep every morsel, every speck, everything I can. I want to learn and I want to follow and I want to grow in that obedience because I really love Jesus. I really love Jesus. And in his eyes, my love is demonstrated by obeying, keeping the word, but oh so much more, oh so much more. So for us today, this is an enormous foundational truth. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen. Turn back just a little bit to Hosea chapter 6. I want to show you a verse that we're going to look at with a very similar ring to it. Because this is Israel a little bit later on in their history. Saul was the first king, and by Hosea's time there were many kings and prophets that weren't really prophets, teachers that weren't really good teachers. Israel was in trouble. Northern kingdom, Ephraim, southern kingdom, Judah were failing fast. Hosea is right after Daniel, if you can find Daniel. It's a short book, short chapters, great book. Hosea chapter 6. Obviously, they are in trouble. And Hosea is calling them to repentance, to return to the Lord. Come, let us return to the Lord, chapter 6, verse 1. For he has torn us so that he may heal us. And sometimes that's what it takes, isn't it? For a land, a country, a nation, a kingdom, a government. Sometimes we have to be torn that he can heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. I love verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. New life comes on that third day, doesn't it? Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. This is the constant commandment. Press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? God is shaking his head. Oh my, what am I going to do with you? Listen, your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Isn't that our love? I love God. I love God, and I love those people, and I'm so filled with love, and it just kind of, that love just kind of away with the morning wind. And tomorrow, we're a mess. And the next morning, we're back in love again. And then the sun comes up and life comes up and things happen and there we go again. Your love is fickle. Our love is fleeting. So was theirs. You say you love me, but my, does it ebb and flow. Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I've slain them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as the light. Verse 6. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. That's really what I want. I want a steadfast, merciful kindness. This is a Hebrew word, hesed, that is just a rich, rich word in the Hebrew language. I want that glowing, continual, warm, consistent love for me. Not that big flame dies out. Big flame dies. I want that just consistent, warm, and I want you to know me. I want knowledge of God. It comes from His Word. It comes from His Word. That's more important. That's more important that we know God, that we pay close attention, we pursue Him. That's more important that we know Him. And that our love is a continual warmth, glow, a fire that never goes out. It's just a continual love through knowing Him. That's more important, he says, than your sacrifice and your worship. Than your deed of sacrifice and worship. Knowing God, understanding Him completely, obeying Him completely is more important than any deed or act of sacrifice and worship you and I may have. I don't really read the Word of God. I don't know it. I kind of, you know, here's the psalm I like. But I gave a boatload of money to the church last year, and so, well, I'm not really that much interested in the Word of God, really digging in, really being a student. Terry will tell me what I need to know. However, I did load a truck for them. I did help them down at the church. I've been there, and my sacrifice to them and my worship there is, and God says, yeah, that kind of love goes like this. I want this kind of love through knowing me in the Word of God. Keeping my commands entirely. Not Saul's kind of thing. Jesus kind of thing. A love that loves my word, keeps my commandments, and me and the Father come and move in and live in you. Saul was, he was kind of a bipolar love, right? I kept the commands, I kept the commands, I kept. Read it again, Saul. Stop, shut up, look. It's always been this way. I think since we were created, mankind, we are Saul. So many ways, we are Saul. So if you turn back to 1 Samuel, I'll read two verses to you that will sound very, very familiar, very similar to this. It's because they are. Because of what Jesus told us, when Hosea said, I want you to love me, one has said, love, more than your sacrifices and your worship, I want you to love me steadfastly, continually, and to know me, the knowledge of God, keeping my commandments. And Jesus said, that's love, is that you keep the commandments. That's been the teaching throughout the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Saul, this is how God feels about it. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Whatever, Saul, whatever sacrifices you brought back from the Amalekites, however beautiful those rams and sheep and oxen and chickens and bunnies and whatever it is you brought back, these amazing things that you're gonna give to the Lord. Did you know, Saul? Do you understand that to obey Him completely through His Word is better? That God wants your obedience, your steadfast, your love, this growing flame of love and obedience, that's better than whatever you want to offer the Lord, whatever you want to bring to the Lord in worship. He'd rather have you obey Him because you love Him. And He comes and lives with you. That's better. It's better than the songs we sing, although you sounded amazing this morning. It was a great, great little worship session. It's better that we obey. It's better. I'm not saying that wasn't good. I'm saying He says it's better. Whatever service you're sacrificing, you're worshiping the Lord with, whatever service, whatever deed you're giving to the Lord, it's better that we obey. And that love just builds consistently, just grows as we pursue knowing Him. We can know our God. He will manifest Himself to us this way. So Saul, I need you to know that your definition of obedience, the importance you place on specific obedience, detailed obedience, looking carefully at the Word to obey it because you love Him. I want you to know that that is way more important to God than all those lambs and oxen and whatever you've brought back to sacrifice. It would have been so much better if you would have obeyed. Verse 23, and this is where it gets just insanely emphatic. Is that a good word? Emphatic. Because you and I look at what Saul did and we go, well, he obeyed 94%. I mean, didn't he? He actually did kill all the people except one, and all of the livestock except the very best of the flock. I mean, he obeyed mostly 94%. And yet God says this in verse 23. For rebellion is as or like the sin of divination, witchcraft. And presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. He's tearing your kingdom from you. And Saul would be so distraught as Samuel turned to walk away, he would reach out to grab him and say, no, don't leave. And he would grab his robe and it would tear in his hand. And Samuel says, that's exactly what is happening to your government and God. Because you've rebelled against God. You're presumptuous. And in God's eyes, Saul, you haven't obeyed. You've rejected the word of God. Well, I have kept 94% of your word. God is only happy with 100%. That is, you remember years ago when I said a half truth is a whole lie? If you tell a half truth, it's a whole lie. Well, in God's eyes, half obedience is total disobedience. If you're only going to obey half of what I said, you're totally going to disobey. You have not kept what I've asked. Or what I've commanded, right? So it's the same thing. He wants us all in. Why? Because we love him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's love. You're right. It is love. That is hugely important. And so, Saul, well, you say you have obeyed, God says you have rebelled. And that's like the sin of witchcraft. Why would you say obeying the command, 94% of it, is like witchcraft? You've just taken part of it and you've sat it over here. I get that. You've kind of changed it and added your own little thing here, and that's like the sin of witchcraft. That's how bad it is. He calls it rebellion. That's crazy. Witchcraft. Wow, what spirit are you calling on, Saul, that you're not trusting God's spirit to lead you? It's like there's another spirit here. It's kind of like, oh, Eve, did he really say you're going to die? Oh, it's that spirit. It's that spirit. Oh, Saul, you don't got to kill them all, not every single one. Take some back and offer it up to your God. He'll be happy with that. Did he really say kill every man, woman, child, infant, baby, lamb, puppy, bunny? Did he really say that? Oh, that disobedience, Saul, kind of reminds me of the garden. It's rebellion like witchcraft, like evil spirited things. And, well, let's not forget this next one. This one is huge. This one is America. Presumption is as iniquity. It's like iniquity and idolatry. You know what presumption is? If you start digging back into the word, it's some sort of an arrogance, a self-centered spirit, whereas you kind of push yourself, your thoughts, onto something else. You're impeding on something else. You're presuming on someone else or someone else's word. In this case, you and I are pushing our self, our desires, our thoughts, our wishes onto God's wishes. And so Saul said, oh, okay, here's the commandment. I wipe them all out. However, I'm going to push myself in onto this and tweak it just a little. I think I'm going to enhance it a little bit. I think this is actually going to be a little bit better than what God wants. He wants us to wipe them all out, nothing left. I'm going to save some and worship Him. I'm going to ramp that up just a half a notch. Won't He be proud of me? Presumption. Presumption. We push a little bit of what we want onto what God has said. We tweak Him. Yeah, that's pretty good. I think I can keep 94% of that, and I'm going to kind of push myself, what I want to do, in onto it, and I'm going to make it a little bit better. Well, he says that's like iniquity and idolatry. You know, idolatry lives in America in 2022 because we are presuming ourselves onto the Word of God regularly. I mean, I have to. I'm as guilty as anyone. Idolatry. Who's the idol? Me. 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 I'm going to enhance God's word. What? What? You should build a monument to yourself like Saul did to him. Because you must be special. Well, I'm special. More like the Olympics, the Special Olympics, than in that regard. And that's what Saul did, right? He built a monument. Oh, by the way, he built a monument to himself down there in Gilgal. What? This is the sin of idolatry when you and I take the word of God. This is what it says. Well, 94% of that's good. And I'm gonna raise you five. I'm going to call your five and I'm going to raise you five, God. Boom! Arrogant. Presumptuous. Idolater. Witchcraft. Rebelling. Rejecting God's word. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you from being the king, Saul. Do you understand how holy and righteous and just and loving God is? And His word, and you have just inserted yourself into it, and you've rejected Him, so He will reject you, Saul. Oh, we need to define our terms. We so need to define our terms. What you and I call love, what you and I call obedience, what you and I call rebellion, what you and I call rejecting God and His Word, We have to start over. Us and the world, we're using the same vocabulary, but different dictionary. See, we're all talking love, but we are using a different dictionary. The meaning is different when I say it and when they say it, and maybe when I say it when God says it. And you can't have that. So Saul, do you get this? Saul, do you understand what you've done? I know you have kept most of what he said. I'm going to say, just guess and say 94% you've kept it. But Saul, we have to get back. We have to come back to the basics of what obedience and love is. 94% won't work. Only 6% of people in America that call themselves Christians, only 6% believe the Word of God is totally sufficient for our life and practice. Everything we face in life is here. Every action and reaction and answer and direction, everything we need for life and practice as a Christian in America in 2022, everything we need, the answer, the direction, the hope, the guidance, the joy, the peace that the world don't, it's here. I will give you peace the world can't give you from keeping my word and us coming and living in you and giving you the Spirit. Everything we need will be found here. And only 6% of American Christians say, yes, 100% of God's Word is sufficient. So tell me how important that is when a Christian in America in 2022 says, no, the answers aren't all here. God's Word is not sufficient. It's lacking some things. We're missing some things. You can't just go by this. How does God and Jesus view that? What kind of love is that to them? It's hugely important. Critical issue. Critical issue, how we view the Word of God. And how beautiful is what we're about to do in baptism. And so let's just get this clear. When we are baptized, that we are in fact visually showing I have died to myself with Christ. I don't insert myself into God or over God or enhance God. No, I have died to all my wishes and whims and desires and brilliance. I've died and risen with Christ to new life. I'm a whole new person. And I so love Jesus that is my guide for 100% of life and practice. And He has come and made His home in me. And His Spirit does teach me and does give me peace. Even when I'm directed to walk totally against this world, I have peace because I have been baptized spiritually, and I'm showing it now physically. I have died and I now live with Christ. So on the second day, He'll revive us, and on the third day, He'll raise us up to new life. That's pointing to Jesus. That's pointing to Jesus. That's where it comes from Jesus. So you and I, we need to define our terms. What is obedience and love? Because I know what he says it is. And we have to make sure we are using the same dictionary that God is. Here's your dictionary. Here's your dictionary. We don't want to be called rebellious, presumptuous. You have an iPhone 15 with all the... You can... What? How brilliant are you? Did God really say? Don't do it. We have to fight that sinful impulse. It's idolatry of myself. To say, nope, I trust you, God. I've died. I'm a new person in Christ. In Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That's what they're doing today. We'll have five people today, a couple little guys, three adults. They are just saying, I've died, and now I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's beautiful, isn't it? Well, Saul, I hope we've made some progress today. I need you to come back to my office next week. I need you to meet with us next week, Saul, because there's more. I'm hearing this story of what has happened, and we have to get a few other things straight here too before we can move on. But Saul, right now, this week, your assignment is to define your terms, obedience and love, according to God's dictionary. And I think you'll get it. I think you'll see some things if you'll take the time and define those two terms. Love you, Saul. Respect you as our king, as our nation's leader. But he's about to tear the kingdom from you because you've rejected God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for King Saul. Lord, I pray for our nation's leaders. Pray for our mayor, our president, our vice president, our mayor, our governor, our church leaders. Lord, this is for us first. It's for our elders and our deacons, for your pastor. Lord, this is for us, for every person here, I pray. Lord, may we define terms with your dictionary. And oh Lord, I pray, come make your home in us. Come make your home in us. Teach us. Give us peace that this world can't give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close the service with one of my favorite songs that I'd really love to sing with my wife.
Don't try.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sure I'm safe here. I don't want to break a leg. I know they say that in show business, but this isn't show business. Everybody stand, if you would, join us with Lord, I need you. I need him every day. I need him every minute. Without him, I would still be lost in my sin and suffering. With him, I live. Amen.